Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Thank you so much, church. Why don't we put our hands together for the incredible team? You may take your seats this morning. Take your seats slowly. Don't do it too fast. It's the season of holidays. It's the season of rest. Give me a show of hands if you're on holidays at the moment. There are a lot of people on holidays. What if you have just come from holidays? Give me a show of hands if you've just finished holidays. Yeah, there's a few. Who's about to begin holidays? Is anybody heading off on a holiday this week? Nobody to be jealous of. That's awesome. I don't need to deal with an attitude this week. That's great. I love that because this is an incredible season of holiday and rest. And as I was preparing for this word, I have to be really truthful. I was preparing a word when I began to prep this message a number of weeks ago, knowing that it was the final service for 2019 and also the final service for a century. It's a significant service. We're right on the cusp of a new century. The next 20 years of your life is going to look really different to the last 20 years of your life. It's a whole different stage, a whole different season. There's something incredible about to begin. And yet, as I was beginning to prepare a message, I would say some of vision that was beginning to stir in my spirit for our next, I really felt an urge to pause first. And that's what the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about was, Mel, incredible next steps come off intentional times of pause. And so this morning, I want to bring a word that's just a little bit different. It is very, very seasonal for today or this week. For some of you who have been in a season of rest for the last little bit or are going to take a few moments in the next couple of weeks to slow the pace, I would love to speak this morning about taking it slow. Because what I've discovered in the Word of God while I've been prepping this message is that God's pace is not fast. God's pace is slow. And I want to unpack this because there are some different attributes about God that if we fasten them up, they are impossible. And so I would love to take time this morning for us to slow it down just for a moment. So I've titled this morning's message, Don't Hurry, Be Happy. Just doing a spin on the old song. Don't hurry, be happy. Each and every one of us actually has to take time to rest. We can't continue to move on. I have to be really honest. We've been away with family for the last little bit up at Noosa, and it's been a really relaxing time, very slow. It's been really wonderful. And yet I found my mind when I was taking slow times. If I was lying beside a pool or having a nana nap, which I intentionally booked in multiple times a day, which is just awesome for those who love to do that. I found my mind wandering, planning. While lying beside the pool the very next day, I was putting together the menu for the first dinner that I'm having friends. And it was the Holy Spirit who was like, stop. Would you stop for just a moment and create some space for me in the midst of this time of rest? Because the truth is we have picked up a pace as humanity that is so fast, we don't have a lot of space for God anymore. Now, hear me right. You made time this morning to come to the house of God. And for so many of us, we carve out time to spend time in His Word or speaking to Him. But the truth is for many of you right now, even as I'm speaking, your mind is somewhere else thinking on planning on something else. We do life so busy that our minds are unable to pause and have space. And so I would love to unpack this word this morning and hopefully challenge each and every one of us in this time, a time in which things do slow down, make it easier for us to practice this out for a little while, would we take time to eliminate hurry? The philosopher Dallas Willard once called hurry the great enemy of spiritual life in our day and urged followers of Jesus to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your lives. When I came across Willard's anti-hurry vision, it struck a deep chord in me, and yet his culprit for the great enemy of spiritual life is not what I actually expected. We live in one of the most secular, progressive, fast nations of the world, but if you were to ask me what the greatest spiritual challenge is in our nation, in Australia, I'm not sure that I would have said it was hurry. What would you answer to that question? What do you think is one of the giants in spiritual life that go against this for us? I bet very few of us would default to hurry as our answer, and yet the more I think about it, the more I now agree that hurry is an enemy of our spiritual lives. Corrie ten Boom once said that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Her logic is sound. Both sin and busyness have the exact same effect. They cut off our connection to God, to other people, and even to our own soul. Many of us are just too busy to live emotionally healthy and spiritually rich and vibrant lives. Granted, there is a healthy kind of busyness where your life is full with things that matter, not wasted on empty leisure or trivial pursuits. And by that definition, Jesus himself was busy. The problem isn't when you have a lot to do, it's when you have too much to do. And the only way to keep the quota up is to hurry in life. I want us to explore over the next couple of moments how hurry is incompatible with a life in Jesus and in his kingdom. We simply cannot live with Jesus in his kingdom and live a life of speed. We have to slow it down. What would it look like for your world to slow it down? If you began to plan 2020 slowed down, what would that need to look like? As you move through your next couple of days, can you pay attention to your body, the sensations of hurry, stress, distraction, or irritation that you feel when you do things fast? Notice how this inhabits your ability to be present in love, which brings me to my point number one this morning. Hurry is incompatible with love. Jesus set love as the highest value in his kingdom's economy. When asked what the greatest commandment in all of Scripture was, he responded with Mark 12:28, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. But he refused to stop at one command and he added another, love your neighbor as yourself. But love is painfully time-consuming. All parents know this, as do lovers and most long-term friends. Love has no shortcuts, no life hacks, and no great app to make the process faster or quicker. It takes an enormous amount of time to love well. Love and hurry are like oil and water. They simply do not mix. All of my worst moments as a wife, as a mum, as a friend, are when I'm in a hurry, late for an appointment, behind on an unrealistic to-do list, trying to cram too much in my day. I ooze anger, tension, and a critical nagging attitude, the antithesis of love. If you don't believe me, next time you're trying to get your super chilled husband and three easily distracted, unmotivated children out the door to church, when you're running late, just pay attention to how you relate to them. Does it look and feel like love? Or is it more in the vein of agitation, frustration, anger, a biting comment, a rough glare, or a roll of the eyes? It comes as no surprise that the Apostle Paul's definition of love and the first word used to describe it was patient. In 3 mile an hour God, Kosuke Koyama says it this way, God walks slowly because he is love. If he is not love, he would have gone much faster. Love has its speed. It has an inner speed. It has a spiritual speed. It is a different kind of speed from the technological speed to which we are accustomed and expect. It is slow, and yet it is Lord over all other speeds, since it is the speed of love. I love this. This has just been unpacked in the Christmas story that we have all just taken time to remember. Because the truth is the world groaned under the weight of sin, and what we needed was a Savior, and what we got was a baby. We got a slow process. There's a reason people talk about walking with God and not running with God. It's because God is love and His speed is slow. Which brings me to point number two. Hurry is incompatible with joy. Love is the highest value in the kingdom economy, but it's not the only value. The Trinity of love, joy, and peace show up again and again in Jesus' teachings and the writings of Paul. They are the core reality we aim for in our spiritual journey with Jesus. All three are more than just emotions. They are overall conditions of the heart. They aren't just pleasant feelings. They are the kinds of people we become through our apprenticeship and our journey with Jesus, who embodies all three of these. And joy, like love, is incompatible with hurry. All the spiritual masters from inside and outside the Christian religion agree on this, as do secular psychologists and mindful experts. Regardless of what slow down person you see, Christian or not Christian, yoga practice or meditation, regardless of where you go to slow down, they all agree on this. If there's a secret to happiness, it's simple. Be present in the moment. The more present we are in the now, the more grateful we are for what is, and the more we tap into joy. We often vow to give God our future, but the future is easy to give God for the simple fact that we don't have it. All we have is the present, the here and now, this moment, this pain, this joy, this gratitude, this surrender. And the more moments we slowly and gratefully turn over to God, the more we tap into His joy. Which brings me to number three. The final of the kingdom trinity of love, joy, and peace is peace. And we've saved the best for last this morning, as it's fairly obvious that peace is incompatible with hurry. If you don't believe me, next time you're running late to catch a flight, or 10 minutes late for an appointment, or an overdue an assignment, take an interior inventory and see if you feel deep peace or rest in your soul. Do you sense a grounded, present sense of calm, or something else? And yet we continue to cram more and more into our already overfull lives, forcing ourselves to speed up to a frantic pace and rarely slow down long enough to experience God's peace. Of course, not all busyness is bad. There's a kind of busyness that means you're not wasting your precious life on trivial things. The problem isn't having a lot to do, it's having too much to do. Where the only way to cram it all in is to kick into a hurry gear and start, as a tragic result, slip out of love, joy, and peace. In our culture, slow is actually negative. It is seen as negative. Let me explain. When somebody has a low IQ, we dub them as slow. When the service at a restaurant is lousy, we call it slow. When a movie is boring, again, we complain that it's slow. Case in point, Merriam-Webster's dictionary definition for slow is mentally dull, stupid, naturally inert or sluggish, lacking in readiness, promptness and willingness. The message is clear to each and everyone: as slow is bad, fast is good. But in an upside-down kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, our value system is turned on its head. Hurry is the killer of love, joy, and peace. Slow is God's design for each and every one of us, because Jesus is what love, joy, and peace look like in flesh and blood. I think about this when Jesus encounters the woman with the issue of blood in Luke 8. He's been told he is needed urgently, that a young girl is dying, but Jesus slows and is present in the moment enough that a woman has the opportunity to be healed from a 12-year-long crippling sickness. Look at how he deals with the pressure to go fast in Luke 8. says in verse 40, on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading to come urgently to his home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was about to die. And as Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the pressing crowds. A woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. Jesus stopped, and he said, "Who touched me?" Everyone denied it. And Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing flow, healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him. Just think about this process and how long all of these things are taking. And she immediately and told him that she touched him and that she'd been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the house of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and he told him, "Your daughter is now dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith, and she will be healed." And he went on his way. There is a pace that Jesus carries that is not hurried, and it is not dictated to by pressure. It is slow, but its gifts are love, joy, and peace. And each and every one of us have the ability to tap into that lifestyle by taking just a moment to evaluate our pace. Does it align with how God designed each and every one of us to live? Does it sit within those beautiful gifts that he promised each and every one of us? Most often the fuel to our hurry is fear. Fear of failing, fear of letting others down, not measuring up, fear of not earning enough, doing enough. And we end up in a place of striving, stressing, and trying to work our way into relationship with Jesus. But he says, which is my final point this morning, take my yoke. He says, take my yoke. Jesus regularly invited people to follow him. Normally, his invitation sounded something like Matthew 16:24. "Whoever wants to be my apprentice must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow after me." But in another passage, Jesus appealed to the tired, the weary, and the burned out, and simply says in Matthew 11:30, "Come, find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus' open invite is to a life of rest, not just for our bodies, but a far deeper level for our souls. And yet his imagery of an easy yoke is a little bit odd. Far removed from an agrarian economy, we forget that a yoke is a tool for work. It is used to harness oxen together to plow a field. That sounds like the last thing a burned out worker needs. The tired among us don't want a yoke, we want a vacation. But Jesus is wise beyond comprehension, and he gets it better than we often do, that life is an unending series of burdens. There's no way around getting out of the weight of responsibility that is life, this side of resurrection. What we need isn't an escape from that weight, but a way to carry it with ease and joy. That's what Jesus offers. A way to carry the weight of life with a straight back and a smile on our face and peace in our spirit. God has a way. He called it Sabbath in the Bible. Many of you will have heard this word. It's not just a word that the Israelites adopted at the end of every week. It was literally a tool he gave them to allow them to rest, refresh, regroup, and walk into the next 6 days of work with peace and joy and love in their spirits. It set them up for the next working days. Sabbath is a 24-hour practice of restful worship by which we cultivate a spirit of restfulness all week long. As we near the weekend, we look forward to a day of rest and worship to remember, but there are Sabbath moments to be found in each and every day, little opportunities to slow down and to rest under Jesus' easy yoke, to unhurry in the life that's waiting for us all. We each have to look for little Sabbath moments in each and every day, when you first wake up, on your lunch break, before a meeting. Those opportunities come, but don't be urged to reach for your phone. And instead, reach in your mind for Jesus, because he'd love to spend some space time with you, some gap time with you. Settle into his rest. Take this special time of holidays not to cram it full of outings, errands, catch-ups, spring cleans, and things to do on to-do lists that have been sitting, but just stop and rest. Can I ask everybody in this place just to close your eyes just for a moment? We're going to take a moment right here in our services just to stop and rest. You may not realize this, but the service has only gone for 1 hour this morning. It is only just 10:01. We have time to stop and rest. I'm going to ask, would you just right now create some space? You're going to want to think about the next thing that you've got to do. Maybe you've got to go shopping. Maybe you've got family to see. I don't know what it is. But could you, for just a moment, create some space? It's different for everyone. You might need to take some big breaths in and some big breaths out and expel a little bit of stress. Would you just commit this time, right now, to him and ask for his supernatural rest to rest on you? We're just going to take just a couple of moments as the team play. Just take some time. Father, we take time to rest this morning. We're not in a hurry to move on. In actual fact, we count it a blessing to be able to just stop, pause, sit in your presence, be refreshed. Let our soul be ministered to, spoken to, whispered to. We thank you for all that you have done. We give you glory and honor. We bless your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus. In this beautiful atmosphere this morning, as all heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You may have come out to the service today and you may not have met or encountered Jesus, who I've been talking about. You might be listening to this message this morning going, that is a foreign life from the one I'm leading right now. It's fast and it is stressful and it's got pressure. But I want to tell you this morning that there is freedom found in Jesus Christ. And if you've come out to our services this morning and you don't know this Jesus, you're not in relationship with Jesus, but you go, I need something different to the life I'm living right now. I want to give you an opportunity right now to say, I would love to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. I would love to make a decision to become a follower of Jesus and live a lifestyle like that. Maybe you do know Jesus. Maybe you have known Jesus for a really long time, but you're not living in relationship with Jesus. You've not lent in for a long time, but He's calling you. He's calling your name this morning, saying, come into relationship in 2020. Come and sit at my feet. Be refreshed. Be restored. Be healed. This is your year. This is your year. If that is you as well this morning, I'm going to ask you to just to slip up your hand so that I can see it. I'll see your hand wherever you're sitting, and I'd love to pray with you this morning and help you in that journey, that next step with Jesus. If there is anybody in our services this morning, would you just slip your hand up? Nobody else is looking around. I'll see it. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Incredible. Thank you. I see that hand. It's an incredible decision. It's an incredible decision. Do you know, as I saw those hands go up this morning, I really felt that this message was for you. There is a change of pace. There is a change of pace for your next year. All three of you, you're going to experience God's love, His joy, His peace, and His rest this year. It's going to be an overwhelming year of knowing who Jesus is in your life. You have made a great decision. I'm going to pray with you right now. Would you agree with my prayer this morning? Father, right now, we thank you for these incredible decisions, people who are brave, who slipped their hands up. But Lord God, you saw hearts open up to you. Would you pour yourself into each and every one of them? Would you fill their spirits with your love, with your peace, with your joy, with your rest? Would you overwhelm them with your presence right now? Lord God, we celebrate with them this morning as they make a decision to live a life for you, in relationship with you, not just to know about you, but to know who you are, and then begin to discover who they are because of who you made them. Lord God, reveal yourself to each and every one of them. And we rejoice today with all of heaven for the decision they made, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and give God glory this morning.